This is Tommy Gunn, and this is the Marcus Deegan Show.
The Marcus Deegan Show! What's the story, my friends? Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Deegan. You know where I'm at, Sin City, Las Vegas, the place of bright lights and world title fights. It's the last podcast of 2023. We've had a strapping 3 months here at Sticky Paw Studios, and I want to send a massive shout out to everyone that's followed us on Spotify or YouTube. The support from you is what keeps this going. We have got some massive shit that I wish I could tell you about that's happening in 2024, but I got to keep my mouth shut, and it's fucking killing me. Don't ever tell me a secret, ever. If you don't want people to know your shit, don't tell me, because I don't want to say I've got a big mouth, but I kind of have a big mouth when it comes to secrets. We've got a different show today. Is it a fighter? No, it isn't a fighter, but this guy is a fighter. In a sense, he doesn't fight in the ring, but he fights in life. There's so many accolades you can introduce this guy as, but he's probably someone from the industry that stood the test of time, that didn't lose it on drugs or alcohol. In an industry that can normally end in badly if it's done the wrong way, and this man has proved that you can step outside of the stigmatism of the adult industry and be looked at with respect. I've known this guy for coming on 15 years now. He's a good buddy of mine. If there's a zombie apocalypse, then you've got to get to this guy's all-terrain vehicle. We're going to find out a little bit about that. One of the legends of the fucking business. Would you welcome to the Marcus Deegan Show, my brother, Tommy Gunn. What's up, sir?
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks so much, Marcus. Thanks for having me.
It's good. Fuck, you don't age.
Well, I see it.
We see it, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're just talking before. How old are you now?
56. I'll be 57 in May.
Do you ever think you would make it to 56?
No.
Honestly. You never fucked with drugs and shit, though, right?
I did.
In the beginning, and then, like, in the beginning of your career?
No. Strangely enough, the industry happened after my drug craze, or whatever you want to call it. In fact, it helped me get out of the drugs, because I found something. I was like, wow, you know, this is like a real thing. I could do well at this, but I certainly can't do it all fucked up and banged up and you know. So I saw that and realized I got to be an athlete. I can't, you know, go into this. You mentioned fighter. Well, it's somewhat of an analogy. I can't go into a scene, you know, it's a physical thing, right? You can't go into it all banged up and drunk and hungover from the night before. So I treated myself like an athlete, which I've always done. I've been very athletic as a kid growing up, soccer, BMX, all these physical sports and stuff. So,
and in an industry where guys aren't typically in shape, Tommy, guys aren't typically physique-wise, they're borderline shit, really. You were one of the only kind of, there was a handful of you guys that stayed in shape. Sure. Why do you think that guys in the industry didn't think that it was important for them to be in shape?
Well, I don't know if it's an issue of the guys in the industry didn't think it was important enough to be in shape. I think it was just, there was a very critical talent. If you could keep it up, get it up and keep it up, that was it. No matter what you look like, you can do it. So you're in the business. So therefore, so, you didn't see very many body conscious men. There were a few, but at the time when I got in 2004, I came from the world similar to yourself, was the dancing world.
Yeah.
And that performing, and it's all body conscious stuff, and you can't be out of shape doing that. You're on stage in front of 1,000 girls. So are you gonna do that? So I kind of brought that to that industry and was blessed in the respect where when I got there, a lot of the girls and producers and directors were like, wow, look at this guy, he's in good shape.
And that was going to be my next question. Did it attract like a lot of the female talent because of the way you looked and because, you know, you kept yourself well and you stayed in shape? Did that draw a lot of women to want to do work with you?
Yeah, it definitely helped. I mean, when I, my first, I guess, you know, interaction with the girls was in 2004, or 2000, what was it? My date's mixed up. 2004, I came out to Vegas. I knew a director that I had met on a previous trip to Los Angeles, and because I was seeing this girl, and she and I were screwing around, and she was a dancer in Florida. I was living in Florida. She and her she and I got intimate. We screwed around, and you know, I can remember her smoking a cigarette after we had sex, and she's like, "Wow, my God!" And I'm like, "What?" She's like, "You should be in porn." And I'm like,
"What?" And you had never thought about it?
Not really. I mean,
you used to fuck a lot of girls being a male stripper, right?
Strangely enough,
what the hell?
I know my body count was very low. Strangely, is that what they refer to?
That's what it's called now. The body count. Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, "Well, I don't. What do you mean?" She goes, "Well, you know, you got you're in good shape. You can fuck really well." And, I made a few movies, and I go, "Really?" She's like, "Yeah, I go out to California quite often, and I've done a couple things. If you ever want to go, I could take you." And I go, "Really?" She goes, "Yeah." She says, "In fact, next week, I'm going to go. If you want to go, I'll go for 10 days, and you can kind of drive the rental car and carry my suitcase, and once we get to a location or a studio or wherever, you know, you'll just be quiet and get lost and go sit in the backyard or something while I do what I do." And so when I went and I met this, on the last day of that trip, you know, I met a few producers and directors and some of the girls. I met this gentleman who was a big director for a company called Wicked, and he basically had the background you and I did. He danced in Canada.
Right.
So yeah. That's how we connected. Because she got up, the three of us went to dinner. She got up and went, "Excuse me, I'm going to go use the powder room." I said, "Okay." And she walked away. And then I said, "Hey, man, this girl's thinking about, you know, she wants me to do this business." I said, "Well, what's a guy like me got to do to get into this business?" He says, "Well, you know, it's not easy because, you know, everybody thinks they can have sex and have sex." Well, yeah, it's one thing in the privacy of your own home, in the comfort of your own bed or whatever. But to do it in front of 30 people with a boom camera, with a boom mic and a camera and the guy right over your shoulder and all these things, that's a whole other story. I said, "Well, what would I expect?" He says, "Well, your best bet to get into business is you come in with a pretty girl." I said, "Well, how does that work?" He goes, "Well, the pretty girl is kind of like your leverage. And for example, she'll be your kind of your foot in." I said, "Well, okay, so how's that work?" He goes, "Well, all the directors and producers, you know, they all want the new girls is always, you know, the new girl, right?"
Yeah.
And then she says, "Yeah, I'll do a test shoot or this or that, but I only work with him." That would be your shoe in, you know, that would be your opportunity. Well, in this case, that's not how it worked, but long story short, she came back, I got his business card, we went back to Florida, she kind of went her way, I went mine, I still got back into dancing and stuff, and I was working as a mechanic, building drag race motorcycles for this one racer guy. So I kept this guy's business card. And it was weird because, you know, I looked at this card and I'm like, "Man, this could be a whole new life." But, you know, that world is...
Yeah.
It doesn't go away. You do something on the internet, it stays forever. So
yeah.
So I said, "Oh, you know." So I kept the card. And, you know, every couple months, I'd get this crazy, like, pull the car down and look at it and go, "Mark." Maybe call the guy, "Hey, man, what's going on?" "Oh, I'm on set right now. You want to talk to Jenna Jameson?" "Hey, hi," whatever, you know, "Have you made up your mind?" I go, "Nah, I'm still nervous. I'm probably not going to, you know, I'll let you know. I just wanted to call." I said, "All right, I'll let you go and get back to what I was doing." I got back to where I was dancing and stuff. So me doing that for 4 years over the course of a few months every couple months, pulling this card out, thinking, "Man, if I could only just get the courage to do that." Nah, I don't know. So eventually I got the courage after 4 years of carrying this card around and doing this drag racing and motorcycle stuff and still dancing. I decided, you know what, I'm not getting any younger. And I got into the business at 36, which was late for a guy, almost 40 years old.
Right. So did you go into doing stepdad porn straight away?
No, because that
didn't come till later. Really, no, that's right. Yeah, it was different.
The adult industry has a way of really compartmentalizing everything in it. You know, what's older guy, younger girl, older woman, younger guy. It's all very compartmentalized.
Mm-hmm.
That, strangely enough, I think if you can imagine, the adult industry was based on older guy, younger girl, kind of
right
naturally.
Yeah.
You know, naturally. So when I got in, there was no step this,
and it's not as if you looked like an old man anyway.
No, I still looked,
yeah.
You know, people thought, you know, "Oh, you're late 20s. I'm like, "No, I'm damn near 40 years old. And they're like, "Wow, really?"
Mm.
So when I got in, I, you know, like I said in my earlier years, I had a real bad run with drugs. It was dreadful. And for lack of better words, I'm surprised I made it through that.
What kind of drugs? Coke?
Coke, GHB, this and that and blah. You know, I recall literally, honest to God, that, you know, at one point or another, in like a day or in an evening or whatever, in the hardcore of my...
Of your fucking...
Being on like nine things.
Yeah, 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 right.
Like, oh, what's that? I'll try that. Yeah. Boom, what's this? You know, and I...
And
I
still thinking that you're sober, yeah.
Yeah, I consider like alcohol and cigarettes...
Yep.
A drug. You know, I'd be on acid and taking cigarettes and smoking and drug and cocaine and you know, GHB and this and that and mushrooms. Oh, you got, you know, nitrous, yeah, you know, the whole everything. Yeah. Jesus. That's all we did was dance and come home and have a big party and all the people around in Florida and stuff. So I managed to survive that.
Yeah, luckily, because a lot of people don't.
Exactly.
Especially in your industry.
Yeah. Especially so I did all that before I got into the adult business.
So that's good.
Or at least the adult business when I say that, because I had a stint in the dancing world.
Right.
The Magic Mike world, we'll call that.
They come hand in hand anyway.
So all I had to do at the end of the day was, you know, after taking all my clothes off and leaving one thing on for the girls, the next step was taking that off and having sex in the context of a story in a movie,
right,
which was story-driven and wardrobe, and that's what this gentleman did.
Which goes back to that movie, that Gladiator movie that I saw was like a full production movie. Remember in the day of pirates and stuff that? What you really wanted to do, like the proper movies with the big production and
absolutely.
Then do the... Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, and so why has that changed now?
Well, the reason why that's changed, I believe, is pirating. Pirating in the sense that, you know, you put your content on the website or out there on the web, someone snatches it and gives it away for free to everybody. So nobody was making their money. When I did Pirates in 2005, I was cast to play Stagnetti, which was the bad guy, opposite of Evan Stone, which we all know is a really great guy.
Did you say that? With true meaning, then, is a really great guy.
He's great. Yeah. Evan Stone he's been nothing but a.
Oh, he's a fucking legend. I saw him at the UFC a couple of months
absolutely.
Ago. He's a mini. He's only this tall.
Evan Stone. Well, we're minis.
I liked him though. I really.
Yeah,
I
he's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's kind of what put me on the map, because there was a time when I wanted to be an actor. You know, I think we all want to be an actor,
right?
You know, rock star, actor, whatever we was. Yeah. It was. I wanted to be an actor, and I thought, you know, maybe if I decide to go mainstream, I'll just be like some little tiny atom in some huge universe, and nobody will know who I am. Maybe, I don't know, that'll be difficult, right? Or I could go into the adult direction, and it wasn't such a big world, but yet it was big enough where everybody consumed it, you know, and if I could make a name for myself there, then maybe, again, Hollywood would say, oh, we recognize you. And if the day came when they needed someone, because, you know, Hollywood's always looking over the fence at us.
Yeah.
It's like we have this wall between us. They're always looking over the fence at us, and we're looking over the fence at them. They're thinking, how could we be more edgy and have more that edgy content in our world.
Hence Sasha Grey.
Yes. And then on our side, we're thinking, how can we be more Hollywood, you know, and our productions be more, hence Pirates and all these big movies.
Yeah.
So I chose to go the adult way.
Mm.
And it worked.
And it worked.
And it worked in the capacity where you mentioned someone, Sasha Grey. One day I was on set and I get someone who says, hey man, you know, they're casting for Entourage. I said, really? I said, yeah, they're looking for male porn guys. Okay. He says, here's the contact. Here's the number. Call, see, you know, whatever. I called. Hey, I'm Tommy Gunn. I heard you're looking for male guys for this thing. And the concept was, in the movie or in this particular episode, Vince, Adrian Grenier, or was with Sasha Grey. They were having some iteration, you know, some, you know,
oh, fucking.
Whatever they were, you know, some, whatever the word I'm looking for is, some, whatever. Anyway, so in the story, he wants her to get out from that business. you know, in the episode. But yet she's like, I'm trying to get back into it. So, and he's like, I don't know if I want that. And he's carrying on all the shenanigans, doing coke and whatever. And this was the episode, season seven, Lose Yourself, which had Eminem in that too. So in my, where I was, for lack of better words, if I may back up, what I said about Hollywood calling was, I went on the casting, I got the sides, went on a casting, did the thing, and everything went great. And they were like, all right, we'll let you know what happens. And I walked away and left, and I saw a couple other guys on set. So I, or, you know, waiting to do their audition. So I left. And a day goes by, and I see another producer, another guy, and he says, hey, man, I heard they're looking for a Tommy Gunn type male porn star. I go, what do you mean, Tommy Gunn type? He goes, yeah, that's what it says on the call sheet. We're looking for a Tommy Gunn type.
What? Really?
And I said, what do you mean? They go, well, evidently.
An Italian guy with a big cock and a brown physique.
You know what I'm saying? Evidently, you were the benchmark of they wanted to find. And I said, that's funny. I went down there and nobody said anything about, oh, you're Tommy Gunn. They just. So the next day, he says, yeah, they're looking for some Tommy Gunn type. I said, that's awfully strange. So my point is, I did something enough in the business to make Hollywood go, hey, well, we need Tommy Gunn type guy to show up to be the... So in this episode, Sasha Grey's supposed to be doing this photo shoot, this big gangbang she's supposed to be doing. And there's there they are on this photo shoot set. And Vince shows up, and she's like, what are you doing here? She's like, I'm here to support you. She's like, yeah, sure. You're here to cause trouble. He goes, no, I promise, I swear. He says, okay, you just better behave yourself, basically. And he says, so where is the asshole? She's like, what? I knew it. He goes, "But no, I'm sorry, I'm just joking around. She goes, he's over there. And then in the episode, if you've ever seen it, we're in the background getting ready for this photo shoot. And it's a bunch, it's me and 10 other guys or whatever, shirtless, jeans on, whatever. And she goes, be nice to him, basically. And she goes, hey, Vince. They gave me the same name as Vince. And hey, Vince. I go, hey, what's up? She says, come here. I'm going to introduce you to somebody. I walk over to Vince, the other Vince, and I go, oh, hey, Vince, how you doing? He goes, good. How you doing? I said, oh, I'm all right. He says, hey, I'm a big fan. He goes, I'm sorry, I can't say the same. I've never seen any of your work. I said, well, I've seen all of yours, even Medi Ian. And he gets all puffed up. He goes, what are you being an asshole? Because Medellin was the flop.
Right.
Well, that's what Doug Ellen had asked me to, that was the line. They want to intimidate Vince. So I did, and I did the thing, and it went well, and everything was, and I still get recognized for that thing.
Is it on YouTube?
You can find it. It's out there. But that's what I meant about, I guess, making somewhat of an impact in the adult industry enough for when Hollywood said, hey, we need to fill these shoes.
Yeah.
Let's get a Tommy Gunn type to do it.
How many times did you step over to mainstream?
I've
seen you on a couple of things.
I've done a thing called Wolves, which with Jason Momoa and Lucas Till. We all know who Jason Momoa is. He just came out with Aquaman. And he's done a number of other things. So I worked with Jason Momoa and Lucas Till in a movie called Wolves, 2015. Mm. The producer was Steve Hoban. Director was David Hayter, Copperheart, in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
A good friend of mine was a stunt guy. And so they cast me in that. We had to put up a fight to get me on board. Because they were like, why do we need an American actor if we can just get a Canadian guy to play this role? And it was a small little part. It would be like you and I being bikers playing at this truck stop scene.
Okay.
And the lead, Lucas Till, is a wolf, or he's turning into one.
Right.
But he don't know how to fuck what's going on. He's having these moments where his body's changing and he can't figure it out.
Yeah.
So one day, while he gets out of this, he hitchhikes and gets out of this big truck at this truck stop, and he goes in and he's watching the TV, and there's the news about some kid who killed his parents, and that was him because he's fleeing. And he leaves, and he hears some commotion, some girl getting smacked around. Anyway, he makes his way through this trucks and the way they're parked, and he comes to this area where this moment is me smacking this girl around, me and the opposite guy playing the biker. And we're smacking the stunt girl around who played the girl. And he basically interrupts that moment and says, hey, what are you doing? And I said, I back up and go, beat it, kid. He goes, you hit her again, you're going to lose that hand. And then you see his hand change from a human hand to a wolf. And we see that's the first moment when he changes into a wolf. And then we'd have this exchange. He kills me off and kills the other guy. I shoot him in the ear.
Okay. So I'm trying to remember correctly, but I remember sitting at home. I was watching and it might have been that. And I'm going, fuck off. There's Tommy Gunn. What the fuck's that guy doing?
Yeah, yeah.
That's such a good feeling when you're sitting at home and you don't expect it. And you see one of your mates on TV in a movie. That's right. Fucking. What happened with the hedgehog? The porn star, Ron Jeremy.
We'll get into that.
Okay.
Other mainstream things I did was...
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no problem. Was, just want to, you know, finish that question you had asked me. There was another one I did called Gangsterland. It was the latest. I think it was in 2019 or something. It was with Milo Gibson, Mel Gibson's son.
Oh, okay.
Jason Patrick, Michael Paré.
Nice.
Timothy, why am I drawing a blank? Anyway, the director.
Right. Nice.
And I played Mayor Deaver. You know, it was entirely mainstream. Yeah. And
do you have an agent that gets you these gigs?
You know, I don't. And I would like to get one, but I had a bit of a little disheartening type of period of time. When I was taking acting classes, I wasn't working. I was living in California, working, doing, and you know, moonlighting and doing some acting, trying to get some better chops at acting because... You know, it's not a bad thing to hone that skill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Craft, definitely.
It's fucking hard, though.
Yeah, so I went and I was working with Leo Snyder and Leo Rossi and Steve Snyder. He had the little acting workshop, and everybody knows Leo Rossi from, you know, the wise guy stuff. Anyway, so I went and did work with them. Anyway, so I thought, you know, I need an agent to represent myself. I can't just show up at places where they got to. So I went to this one agency. I can't remember the name. I was recommended by a gentleman, Tara Patrick's boyfriend. He says, I got a guy who represents her.
Ross.
Go see him.
Ross?
No.
Her husband, the bull-headed guy, the musician?
Oh, that was Spider.
Spider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says, I got a guy, go see him and see what he says. I said, okay. I call up. Hey, man, I'd like to make an appointment. Sure, no problem. And I go down and, you know, nice place. And you know, thinking, oh, God, him. Hope I'm dressed, you know, whatever. And he says, okay, hey, come on. You know, I'm here to see such and such. Oh, okay, sit down. And next thing you know, hey, how are you? Brings me back, and I walk through this, what felt like some newsroom with all these desks and all these people that I guess they were the other agents. Big place. And he brings me into this place, and opens the door, and he sits me down, shuts the door. Nice windows and just really beautiful place. And he says, so what are you trying to do? I said, well... I'd like to do some acting, you know, I like it. I'd like to do it. I feel like I'm trying to do it. I feel like I can do it. He says, well, you know, it's going to be tough with your background, what you've done.
That was going to be my question. Did he know that you had done porn?
Yeah.
Yep.
And I said, well, what have I done? I didn't murder anyone, you know? He says, yeah, well, you know, it's the stigma, it's the porn, it's the adult stuff. I said, well, I mean, it's a legitimate business, not like we're doing anything that's illegal or anything, and makes way more money than mainstream does, even more, strangely enough. But anyway, I said, so I need an agent, somebody could represent me. He says, well, we basically vote by a committee.
If they want to take your business on, fucking awesome.
He said, so... Odds are that probably won't happen. He says, but if you ever have a set that's close, you to let me come visit. I'd love to check it out. I'm like,
yeah, right.
Anyway, so I kind of got disheartened and thought,
fuck it, you'll
do
it yourself.
No agents want to represent a guy like me. Or maybe they do nowadays. And I challenge one. Hey, if you're an agent out there and you're a good one, I challenge you to take me on as a client. And that would be a challenge to get me. I've done a few things, you know. Entourage ain't a bad gig. Pirates and all the big other movies and Gangsterland, Bulls and all these other stuff. And I'm not a bad actor. So.
Yeah. Do you think that, what else has it affected in your life, the stigma? Has it affected relationships?
It has.
With women?
It has in the capacity that, you know, in the business, I've been married outside of the business. I've been married in the business. In the business, you can imagine, it's tough with your wife or your girlfriend to have disagreement like, hey, hon, I'll see you. Kiss her goodnight. Kiss her in the morning. I'm going to go and work with somebody. But she's also in the business. Let's not forget. That's how I met my wife and a few of the girlfriends that I had after that. And they're doing it too. So, but maybe women are wired differently. I'm not sure, but
they can take it more. They can handle it better.
They can't. In my case, they couldn't. Like, I dealt with them going to work.
Yep.
And knew it. I knew it was fine. Like, I support you, hon. Go do your thing. And my only problem, or not problem, but my only concern that I had was, is that the guy that she's paired up with that day being nice to her.
Right. So
is she going to like what she's doing?
I would have thought, is she going to like him better than me?
That didn't matter.
That didn't matter to you? No.
She obviously did. She's with me. We married on it.
So you were worried that someone was going to disrespect her or physically hurt her in the scene?
Yes, because, girls will say, hey, would you mind not going too hard or something? Or don't smack me in the face or be a little more whatever. And you never know what guys whisper in their ear like, screw that guy. Be with me.
Yeah.
But that, because I didn't want to have to go knocking on some guy's door and say, hey, man, my girl said she worked with you and you didn't.
Yeah. I mean, well. I think for the average man, they don't understand exactly what you would have to go through. Not as a man, but also having your partner in the industry as well. Especially, I mean, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but I think it would just drive you fucking crazy. If there was a male talent that you fucking hated and did not like, yet you knew they were doing a scene with your woman, that alone has got to just absolutely mess with your
head.
Well, it has to. You can't be normal after.
No, of course, absolutely.
You can block it off. Would you watch their movies? Would you watch their scenes after the fact?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be.
You would never watch your girlfriend's scene after she had shot at you. It because of why?
I just didn't have the interest or. Yeah. That's the point. It's like me coming home from work. Hey, how was work? I'm home early.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a don't ask, don't tell. Not, oh, it was great. She did this and did that and her this and that and she's great. Oh, my God, you should see. I don't get into details.
You don't do
that. It's better that way. And vice versa.
Yeah.
I don't want to know, but that's fine. In fact, let's say you and I were in the business and I knew she was working with you one day. I'll be like, yes, she's working with Marcus. She's going to be home early and he's not going to be a turd.
Right.
And he's my boy.
Right.
And he's going to be respectful. Versus she's working for some dude I don't know, and that's fine. As long as it's her, it's her thing.
Yeah.
So for me, when it came to the flip side, when the problem I had with myself with my situation was my wife at the time was
Ashlyn, right?
No, this was Rita Faltiano. She was a big Hungarian actress and huge in Hungary and. Beautiful girl, wonderful, great spirit, all of it, just awesome. She had a huge career in Europe. Big movies, the whole everything. But when she came to America, maybe she didn't have as much recognition. It was a little more difficult to get. And for me, I was just, brand new guy coming up, working all the time. So she may have been suffering from not working as much. From having been big star there,
in Europe.
Coming to America, having a hard time, and then seeing me work all the time, and then she knew I had a good reputation with the girls, so maybe she starts to think, I wonder why they all like you. Like, what are you doing that's so good? I'm like, I'm a nice guy. I'm not being a turd. I'm not.
Because
I'm just being nice to him,
I'm fucking him real good, but I'm being nice at the same time.
No, well, at the end of the day, I always looked at it like whoever I was working with or I was teamed up with, in one way or someone might think, I looked at it like she was in my care.
Yeah.
She was in my, because I always considered myself, the women are the marketing of the business. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But the men, the analogy I made was the women are like the picture on the wall.
Yep.
The art. But the guys are the frame.
Yep.
And together we make the whole, wow, look at that thing, right?
Yep.
together we make the whole thing. Or another analogy was, she's the cheerleader, and I'm the male cheerleader. And the girls rely on the guy to take them, throw them up in the air, and do all these amazing tricks and look really great, and catch them so they don't come crashing down.
Yeah.
The guy's job.
Yeah. How do you not fall in love with all these women, these beautiful women? Like, how is it, how do you, when you do such an intimate connection as having sex, how do you not get feelings for these girls, especially the ones that maybe you have seen from afar and gone, fuck, I can't wait to work with her. How do you not catch feelings?
Well, for me, I did.
You did catch feelings.
Well, I kind of did in order for it to work.
Right.
That was my
mindset. Was like feeling this, like you cared about them.
It's like a special moment between her and I. It's not, we're not falling in love or whatever. I mean, that's how I met my wife, Rita. We had great chemistry, and I was like, wow, and this and that, and this and that. And I pursued her, and she told me no. And eventually I said, I'm not quitting. I'm coming after you, and I want you to be my girlfriend. And eventually she gave in. But it's a strange psychology, for me at least, as a guy, when it comes to working with a girl. You know, the more I can, in my mind, just have a bit of a, you know, this, whatever you want to call it.
A connection?
Yeah, chemistry, man. It's real. Yeah. And it's, even if it's a brief moment, it's a 45-minute thing, you know, and we have a great chemistry. And some you don't as much as others because maybe you don't know what's going on with them, why they're there, who knows why they're there or not or whatever. So that's how I managed to be, you know,
successful in what you're doing and being able to keep it hard is because you actually try to have a real connection with them for that moment of where you're swapping.
Absolutely. I've actually worked with a bunch of girls where the guys would say, she's a bitch.
Mm.
And I go, and in my mind, I think, well, maybe to you.
Yeah.
I don't know what your deal was. Mm. So I'm not going to let that be something that prevented me from.
Yeah.
So I said, let me see how I deal with her.
Yeah. So
and then I would get on set and I'd think, okay, she might be exuding some of these qualities about real, you know, just standoffish or whatnot. And I just kept a cool sense of myself and I wasn't whatever. And eventually I broke through and had great scene. And I go, I don't know what you meant about she was a bitch because I've had great.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't let that.
Yep.
Because it's all about that. It's
right.
About
no, it would have to
level,
be. And
you know?
And if you can see that you're having a connection with whoever it is that you're on the set with, the audience can see that as well. And it actually means a lot more. If you were doing a 45-minute scene, for instance, how many times do you stop and start during that 45-minute scene?
It all depends what you're doing from a movie standpoint.
If you were just doing a fuck scene,
if it was Gonzo is basically boy meets girl.
Yep.
No, none of that shit.
Yep, just straight into it.
You know.
Yep.
Straight into it.
Yep.
And if you did it right,
you don't
cut at all.
Really? Okay, that was my question. So how do you, I mean, I suppose you're used to it. Now, these are questions, common questions that I know that the men that are listening to this want to know, personal questions about this. And then we're gonna shoot over to you in a minute, Chase, because there's a couple of things I want to talk to you about. So Viagra, is it used by everybody? They say it's not, but obviously that would be a common thing, Viagra or Cialis or something,
you know,
like that.
It's like driving without insurance.
Yep.
You could do it.
Yeah.
But what's the point?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, you know.
And you don't do it?
No, I use some here and there. Yep. It all depends.
Yeah.
It all depends.
On the girl
It's by no means one of those deal breakers where like, oh my God, 20 years in the business and now I'm discovering you took that. You know what? Take the S off your shirt. You're not Superman.
Yeah.
You're a liar.
Because it used to be hidden, right? Was it like a hidden thing? Like no one knows. It's like steroids, right? No one knows you take steroids. No one knows you took Viagra either.
It's one of those things. It's a guy thing. It's like, oh, I'm so cool. I can do it without anything. You know what? Great. But when you're trying to work and you're fucking on the hood of a car in 110 degrees, and there's all this shit going on, and they cut every 2 minutes because they got to come in and fix their makeup and do, you know, it's.
And you got to stay like that. Yeah.
It's like, it's a performance enhancing drug. You see, you're going to, you know, what other companies or I'm sorry, industries or that the guys, Everybody uses it, right?
Yeah.
In whatever capacity, right? It's like for your car, you stick this good stuff in and it runs better. Why not do that as a guy or as a in whatever you do, like baseball? I don't know.
Maybe, but it just seems it would come
looked down upon, like, oh, you can't.
Nah, if you're in the industry, I reckon you would just have to do it, which is a great segue into today's episode is proudly sponsored by Riz Pharma, rizpharma.com for all your male wellness needs.
Yeah.
If you want to have a penis like Tommy Gunn, then all you got to do is go to these guys. If you can't get it up, Riz Pharma is the place to go to. If you're losing your hair, if you want to lose a bit of weight, if you don't want to get your girlfriend pregnant, rizpharma.com. It's an online pharmacy. All of your pharmaceuticals, all of your medication gets delivered to your front door discreetly. Use my promo code MDS and you're going to get 15% off.
Nice.
So Chase was talking to me earlier on and I made sure that I asked him if he could engineer this episode of You and I. And I told him about you. And Chase wants to be in the industry.
Yep, that's true. Yeah.
The first thing I asked him was, I don't know if this is what they normally ask male talent. Okay. How's your cock? Is it big? And he said, yes. And I said, okay, great. Well, I suppose that's one of the first things. So, Chase, do you have any questions for this fucking legend of the game that maybe, not a lot of people can get the answers to because they're not a stud like this man? So first of all, are you serious about really doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to give it a shot at least, you know.
Yeah.
But so I guess very similar to how you were asking that director forever ago, you know, what would a guy like me, you know, need to do to be in the industry?
Here we are 20 years later.
Yeah, yeah.
Now the industry has, I guess for lack of better words, made itself so more readily available because of these platforms, these other, the OnlyFans, ManyVids, these other clips for sale, all these other things. You could just, you know, find some pretty girls that you're friendly with or, you know, whatever, that are consensually want to do the same thing and shoot something out your house. You don't have to be, unless you really want to get into the mainstream world of it and end up being an actor and get cast as a, in this case, you would be, how old are you?
25.
Okay, you might be a younger guy with an older MILF situation, right?
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
Maybe Tory Lane or who's the other one that we're going to get? Phoenix Marie.
Things have changed so much.
Yeah. But what can he do? What can he do? Like suggestions first. Like obviously you said to, you know, shoot it at home.
The barrier of entry now is way different.
Uh-huh.
It's not as tough, I don't think, to get into business.
Right.
So you know? Shoot something with a girl that you know, produce it, shoot it.
See, that's the thing there though. How do you get a girl that you know to fucking come over to your house and shoot a porn?
Befriend a couple.
Yeah.
By virtue of who you are and how you're related with Marcus and the podcast or whatnot, and so you say, hey, you know, I do this and I'm this and that, and I, you know, I'd love to potentially do something. Someone might say, oh, really? You know, you're a legitimate guy, you know,
yeah.
You're not some, you know, unknown guy because you have the background of this, you know, it's kind of legitimate.
And plus, he's an opera singer in church.
Yeah. That's really? Also a thing, you know.
Yeah, right. What is it? Tenor?
Baritone.
Baritone.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So, I mean.
I can tell you had that real deep.
Yeah. So, I mean, is there, if you can point him in a direction, if you can give him an email. Let us...
to the Vegas convention.
Oh, when's that? Around. When is that on?
24, 25, 26,
Are you
going to
be there?
I will be there.
This is a good segue for you to pull up that photo that you had that I sent
Perfect.
You earlier on.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's see if you remember this, Tommy.
Wow. Holy mackerel. Look at that.
Look at that.
I remember.
That was 2013, my brother. Yeah.
Time just
waits
flies. For no man.
I don't know who the fuck I'm supposed to be right now. What the
He's
fuck?
Like, what is that?
I look like a
John McEnroe.
Like a Gay Rod Stewart. Gay Rod Stewart.
John McEnroe. Or whatever.
But yeah, that was at the AVN Awards in 2013. Yeah. So maybe that'll be our next thing then, young Chase. We will... Hit up
Come
the
over.
We'll hit up the AVM.
We'll
and Tommy
pal around.
Yep, and you can
and,
introduce
you know,
us to a few people.
That'd be cool.
A couple
yeah.
girls and stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, the girls are, they need to produce content. You know, like I said, a lot of them have gotten out of, I don't say out of shooting mainstream where you show up to set and you got the director and whatnot. They've, a lot of different platforms have come to the surface now where you can,
do like stuff. OnlyFans and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can do stuff.
You do any of that? You do any OnlyFans?
I do, but it's hard to get some of the girls to.
Yeah. Yeah. Any questions you have about that you'd like, that you're curious about, Chase? Like,
well, you know, I guess, you know, a particular struggle with me for this is like, I do have like, you know, obviously I do all of this tech stuff.
Yeah,
I do. I have a vast understanding of how all of this works. And then I also do all the social media for people.
Sure.
So it's almost like if I do the OnlyFans stuff, do I just go in with the angle of, you know, should I just run your OnlyFans rather than, you know, be, star in it, you know?
Run who's? Yours or the girls?
The girls, you know.
Run. Well, I mean, they need to have partners, male talent or whoever, to do stuff, certain things and whatnot. So there is a way. It's not impossible.
Yeah, so, you know. I just need to find the person.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely more. It's what I would suggest is get out there, introduce yourself. You know, it's definitely more prevalent.
Yep.
Than years ago, it's like the barrier of entry is tough. You could even get with an agent now. There's so many. I'll give you a list of who they are at that rate. You can just call them up and say, or you know, it all depends if you want to dabble in it or whatnot. Or you know, I always thought, you know, I produced. I had Assassin Pictures years ago. I tried to do directing and whatnot and stuff. And I you know, I kind of got lazy and was like, I'm just going to show up, do the thing, get paid, and be done with it.
Yeah.
But now, after 20 years in Hall of Fame and all these other, you know,
accolades,
awards and whatever you want to call it, people say, you still don't have your own website or something like that. You should be putting your name on something, you know, Tommy Guns whatever or Tommy whatever. So, I don't know. Maybe there's something there.
And maybe, you know, one last question, you know, looking back on everything, you know, and this is, this might be a little bit deep, I guess, but like, do you regret anything with it?
Do I regret anything? I think a couple things here and there. I wish I'd have done something different, you know. And we all wish we'd have done certain things differently, like save every penny.
Yeah. So you could have been a bit smarter with the money.
Yeah, but, you know, at the time, you're like, well,
yeah,
it's happened so quick. It was coming in, going out, coming in, going out. I'm like, how about this? I'm going to start a company, sure.
Yeah.
You know, Assassin Pictures, try to make movies and stuff. Would I have done some different things? You know, yeah.
Yeah.
How do I feel now about having been 20 years in the business now? And, you know, you haven't asked me how has it affected my family life or my friends or my whatnots.
I wanted to delve into your family because I know that you've lost your mom.
Yeah.
I know that was very difficult for you. And I lost my dad too, so I can empathize with you. I know what it's like. It's rough
It's like they possess they took a spot up on Earth. Like we sit, you know, here we sit. We take the space. We occupy the space.
Yeah.
And we know it, right? And now they don't.
Yeah.
At all.
Not right, you know, now, like, not in the physical, but in the spiritual. But
in your brain, you know, in your mind and your heart and stuff, they exist. And the more you think about them, and the more that, you know, that's how you keep them alive and stuff.
Yeah.
And
but how were they with what you did? How was your mom with it?
She didn't know I got into it. So
at all, ever?
Nope. She passed away in 94.
Okay.
I was dancing.
Yeah.
She had come out to one of our gigs and watched me dance for the girls and stuff and doing our acts and, you know, she had this little grin on her face, like, oh, my God, I can't believe my son is finally not shy anymore.
Yeah,
so that was nice.
What about Dad?
And Dad, when I first got into it, it was maybe a year, three years. I finally said, hey, Pop, you know, I'm out in Los Angeles, and I'm doing some production work and film stuff. And I got into the adult business, and I was making some movies and stuff. Really? I said, yeah, you know, and I don't think he knew at the time when I had expressed this to him. And I always have a hard time talking about myself in a capacity that's, you know, I'll say it and you can kind of get an idea for him. You know, I hate to talk about myself in such a in an elevated way.
No, I understand.
But I said, Dad, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm like Tom Cruise in the business. He was like, what do you mean? I said, I'm winning all these awards, and I've been, you know, that's what I'm hailed as, that type of, I did, I was that successful, and You know, and again, I feel stupid saying it, all those types of things.
But yeah,
he was like, "Oh well,"
but he never saw. Like, yeah, he never saw you. He never saw a movie. Obviously,
no.
Is he still around? Is he still around?
Yeah, he's, I'm going to go visit him tomorrow. I fly there. Nice. He lives in Florida, and I've always had a hard time, you know, talking about myself in that capacity. Because as far as I'm concerned, I'm just some small town kid from Jersey. Came out and wanted to pursue something, and ended up in that world, and. They said, okay, stand here and wear this and say these things and do that thing. And then I did that over and over again. Yeah. And eventually they were like, you're him. You're that guy. And get up on stage and win this award. And I still, I'm just.
Yeah, you find it hard.
Inside,
yeah,
I'm
just still, Tom, just Tommy, yeah.
I'm still Tommy, you know what I mean?
So.
Very humble.
Like over, well, that's, I mean, no one likes a fucking big head.
Yeah, right.
No one does,
right?
Because
there are plenty of them out there.
Fuck yeah, there is. You're talking to one right now. No, I'm not kidding. But so if was there ever one particular girl in the industry that you're like, oh my god, I've got to work with her, and then you finally did work with her? Was there a? Because you're the.
There was a few of them.
You mentioned Jenna Jameson earlier on.
She's the one that got away. Jenna Jameson.
Never worked with her.
I worked under her.
Ashlyn Brooke, you work with?
Yeah, I worked with Tara Patrick, Janine Lindemolder.
Oh, you
Julie
work with Janine.
Ann, Lisa Ann. And all
Lisa
big,
Ann.
Dasha, a lot of the big, big names. Sonny Leone, who's now a huge Bollywood star.
Yeah, she's over in Bollywood now, right?
Huge Bollywood star. Every day, I get inundated with this clip that she and I did a video of. I caught her between, I think, relationships, because typically she would only do girls. So somehow or another, she was ending one relationship, and maybe, who knows how far along afterwards that she got into another one. But I caught her in this moment where she was going to do guys.
Yep.
And I got a friend of mine who was a producer for Vivid. He says, "Hey man, you know, I got you lined up with Sonny Leone. Get out of here."
Stunning.
And
absolutely
what I discovered
stunning.
Was. She and I share the same birthday, which was kind of neat, May 13th. I thought that was kind of cool. Anyway, so I always, so here I was, cast, set up to work with her. The only thing that was not terrible about it was this company was condom only.
Right.
So I was this close.
To getting that, yeah, this close.
This thin.
Nearly.
About.
Come on, mate, you know how to pop them just as well as I do. There's a certain angle you can push it in and pop those fucking things.
You know what I mean? So. We had such great chemistry. And so
just once you work with her, just the once?
Just that one. No, twice.
Did you ever go back?
First time, and I never got to touch her. It was only in the scene where I was with the girl and she was with the girl too. So
okay.
We never had particular sex at that point.
So do you ever go back and jack off looking at any of those old videos, or was it the same
Not
thing?
Really.
You don't go back to it? Do you ever do that? Do you even watch porn?
I mean,
like if you need.
What's funny was I never really watched it. I only liked pictures. Like a photograph.
Right. You're old school.
Like I would be on the computer, like
looking
for just a photograph.
Right.
Like a video to me was kind of like, oh yeah, that's.
It's because you've done it, right?
Cool.
Isn't that bizarre? You just.
But this was before the business. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there was a handful of really big name stars that I was blessed to had to work with, and some weren't as wow as I.
Yeah.
As I thought it would be.
Any bad experiences? Like any
I've had multiple bad experiences.
I've heard about like girls accidentally shitting on guys and stuff like that.
Well, that comes with the territory. It's, you know, you're.
So that does happen.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. That's okay. So, and that doesn't bother you?
Well.
I mean, it's got to be.
You got to have.
You got to have a
strong constitution.
Listen, I talk about mindset on this show all the time, okay? Because I'm fascinated by the human brain. For you to be able to stay hard while someone took a shit on your penis,
you know,
that shows a strong mindset right there.
Well,
yeah?
If, you know, imagine we're in a reverse position and she's on top facing you. That's called cowgirl, right?
Right.
That's what we call it. Well, in this case, if it was an anal.
Cowgirl.
Gravity. You know, and then bless their hearts. They go in and they try to prepare as much as possible. They go in and they do the whole thing, Imodium AD, the whole
thing. The night before,
ritual,
right? Stop
all
eating.
That stuff. It's like dreadful for them. I feel bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't always work and clear out or whatever. So, you know. So what, some of these scenes where you're doing it, and you know,
yeah, yeah,
there's like certain things that, you know, you come off the thing, you come off the dick or whatever, and then, oh God, look at that. Oh my God, sorry.
So what, do they just
so
clean
bad.
It and then cut, reshoot it again?
Cut, she gets off, I get off, I clean up, she goes and does her thing in the restroom and try to clean herself even more. And then we determine, oh, that might not work, and let's not do that or this.
Right.
But I feel bad plenty of times where I'm sure they felt terrible, yeah. And I don't want to embarrass them, yeah, anymore. Like, oh God, what's...
So that's probably the most kind of disgusting thing that can kind of happen to you on set. So here's another question that you might feel uncomfortable answering, but I've got to ask it anyway, because I know in this day and age it's different. Would you ever shoot with a trans woman?
I mean, whoever wants to do what they want to do, but for me, I just...
Not your thing? You wouldn't do it with a tranny? Trans woman, sorry?
I mean,
chick with a dick just doesn't do it for you.
No, it's
it, even if the if the money was big, it's still just not a line that you cross.
Like how much? Millions, so I can retire. All
right. There is a market for it though, right? Trans porn, female,
of course,
trans.
Yeah, look, yeah. Look, to each his own.
Yep.
I don't want to cut caught in the crossfire of all that conversation.
But do straight male performers cross over to doing trans porn? And if they are they looked at differently in the straight?
I've seen a few, and that's, yeah, again, it's their.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I jumped out of an airplane. Mm. I don't want to jump out of an airplane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So how many, do you remember the name of the first girl that you shot with? The very, very, very first
Mason
girl?
Mason Storm. Mason. Cherokee. Cherokee was with a movie, Fluff and Fold. My 20-year anniversary, February 16, is coming up. Which is my 20-year
nice
pornversary, we call it. And a girl named Cherokee, okay, that I worked for.
And who was the last girl that you worked with?
The last girl, I worked with two at the same time. Gracie something and it's terrible. You know what I mean? They were just sweetheart young girls.
Yeah.
Darling, absolutely darling, and just
two of them at the same time.
Yeah, it was VR. So VR is very interesting.
What's VR? Explain that.
Virtual reality. Virtual reality is you wear the goggles, or you wear the head,
yep,
thing. And then however you look, you can see the room, and then you look down and you can see the girl. So what happens is
I get your real point of view.
Yeah. So let's say this was a VR shoot. This microphone instead would be a black box with two lenses, and it would be placed where my natural eyes would be. So it would be here on a jib, stuck, and I would sit here. And then the view of the lenses would be all around, pretty wide aspect, and you could see basically my chest and my legs down and myself here and my hands and whatever. And then the girl would be in front performing whatever she was on me.
Right. That's how they do
it. So I can't kiss them or nothing. I might be able to use my hands or
is
stuff.
Is that the disconnect then?
Yeah, very disconnected.
So is it hard for you to bust a nut when you're in that disconnect stage, or can you do it, or do you have to stop from busting a nut?
Well, there's four things a guy has to do in our business anyway.
Yep.
And timely. And that's get hard.
Yep.
When they say, all right, it's time to go, and stay hard.
Yep.
Throughout, not come.
That's where I'm fucked.
And then when it's time, do it within at least 10 minutes or half hour or an hour.
Because
some guys take longer or whatever, maybe. So I've been blessed in the respect where I managed to be able to do all four within a good sense of time.
So you tick all the boxes, so to speak. You tick all the boxes.
Yeah, I love women. I love the female form. I love the sex. I've been a sexual person, you know. So how I managed to be good at what I do, who knows? Whatever, porn gods have been blessed me or something, I don't know. In my career, I realized that my career would be based upon my rapport with the girls.
Right.
If I was a dick,
Yeah.
What? Who wants to work?
Now there is dick. There is dicks in the industry. Of course, male dicks, right? Yeah, that are real dickheads.
That are not. They're. That's just them naturally, and then they've decided to be in this business. You know, there's two types of guys in the world.
Yeah.
Guys who love girls.
Yeah.
Guys who don't.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to mistreat them or something. I don't want to do that. I love them and want to kiss them and hug them and
Do you think that you acting that way towards them and you showing them kindness and love, so to speak, does that...
They really gravitated to that.
And does that ease the... For you, does that ease the maybe the... I'm a porno guy just fucking bitches on camera? Does that...
Sure.
It does, right?
Mm. Yeah, because...
That's interesting. Mm.
Yeah, I realize that's what I do. I'm doing that. But again, in my care during this moment of whatever it is, you know, I'm looking out for them. Are you okay? I'm not hurting you. I'm making sure I'm holding them up in a certain way or this and that. And, you know, I got a great reputation for myself back when I first started. A lot has changed. I've been 20 years. There's a lot of different generations come in. You know, when the last girl I worked with, she said, I wasn't even born when you started. I was like, well.
And that's
a different world now. It's a whole different world now. It's a lot. It's a real different world in the respect where, you know, there's so much, you know, like behavioral things, you know. It's everything's so consent now. It's all this and that, you know. And you got to be careful and you got to, you know. And I've always, like, even through that Me Too movement, you know, I've had guys be like, man, I'm nervous. I'm like, what are you nervous for? He goes, I don't know. Somebody's going to call me out. I'm like, I said, I've always been a gentleman, so I'm not worried about any of that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good way. And I suppose you want the people to like you. You want the girls to like you, and you don't want to become
not
across
be like, oh, that guy, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah, well, you kind of fuck a lot of things up for me, Tommy. I'm not going to lie. It's hard for me to jack off over porn that you're in now. It's hard for me to jack off over porn that Marcus London's in.
Well, yeah.
So you guys are cutting off, like, a lot of fan base because it's like you're my mates now, so it's a little bit difficult.
I've had people and say friends that you know, say, I can't even watch it now.
Yeah, yeah. can't even watch it now.
You know.
Yeah. Do you get recognized sometimes?
Daily.
You get, like, by women or men?
Men, mostly.
Yeah, and how are they to you when they, are they like, fucking legend, Tommy Gunn, the legend?
It's a number of different ways. You know, I'll get, like, a, you know, like, from across the way, like a...
Yeah.
And I'm going...
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself...
Yeah.
You're looking at.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh shit, I've been over 8,000 porn.
How many movies?
3,500 at this point. So about that. Like, what do they call that? A body count? Is that
body count, yeah. Is? What are you, 3,500? 5,000?
Like 5,000? Which is like unbelievable because I was the shyest kid in school.
Yeah.
So scared of girls because I was like, my brother would say, hey, you know, this girl, whatever, such and such likes you. And I go, really? He goes, yeah, that's great, right? And I'm like, no. Fuck, now I got to figure out a new way to get to English class.
Yeah.
Instead of seeing her in the hallway on the way to class, now I see her, I know she likes me. I'm like, oh, God. Now I'm going to go all the way around the high school to get to class because I was nervous. And what am I going to say? Hi, how are you, whatever. Apparently I wish I could go back to do high school over.
Yeah, and then you had a time machine. I'm shy now.
You know,
but in 15 years, I'm going to be doing something.
And I'm still quite shy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, like, yeah. Have you got a girlfriend at the moment? You got love?
I've always got love in my heart for someone, and they just, you know, I speak to someone regularly, but she's far away.
In the industry?
No, not in the industry.
That's good. So, yeah, that's good.
But I long for someone, but it's tough because it's a hard thing because, you know, I've been in moments where I feel like kind of not taking advantage of, but like a check on the headboard a girl.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. You don't want
to
be that.
And it didn't turn out to be anything, and I thought, oh, that's funny.
Mm.
And they, in their mind, maybe, like, yeah, they got the you know, I fucked Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to become of it. And I was like, well, that's
okay, yeah,
whatever. Like, that's happened.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it would. I mean, I suppose it would. Look, I suppose what comes with what you do is certain, I don't want to say problems, but there's issues that come along with it. There's a lot of good.
Like, I just don't know who wants to bring me home to their mom.
Right. And even if you did get brought home to mom, you would always have in the back of your head, fuck, does her mom know? Or would you always be open with her? Would you be open with your in-laws about it? You'd have to be, right? You can't hide something like that.
At this point.
Yeah, at this point.
Years and years.
You can't fucking hide it. Yeah. How long we got left here?
You know,
I should have done a two-hour one today, but it just gives me the incentive to...
We are about out of time.
All right. I'll wrap it up in a second.
Alrighty.
I'll wrap it up in a second. The beauty about podcasting and what I like to do is, you know, I like to talk to different people, and once you forget that the cameras are here and you forget that the mics are here and you start getting into these in-depth conversations with your friend, and then you start hearing things about the industry, and it's such an interesting topic that everyone wants to come into it. I didn't even touch on half of what I wanted to touch on with Tommy. I didn't get to touch on about his off-terrain vehicle. I didn't get to touch on, you know, his music and his dog, and there's a bunch of things. So what I'm going to say is, when you are back here in January,
come by again.
Can we do this?
Please,
can we
absolutely
do part two of this?
Please.
Can we do that?
Yes, absolutely.
Because
I would love to. I love to share, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and it's good insight because people are interested. Has this been interesting to you, Chase?
This has been really, like, insightful, you know?
Yeah.
Also, you know, I always mention this with you and your guests is, like, you know, you always bring in the most genuine people, and, you know, real sees real, and, you know, I appreciate you coming in, brother.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. It's wonderful.
Well, I've always stayed in contact, and I've known Tommy. Actually, you came to Christmas at my house 1 year.
I remember.
Back in 2012, maybe.
Yeah,
we had a big Christmas party. And
That was the last time I was with
that girl, the blonde girl. The blonde one, what was her name again?
Cameron D.
Cameron
that
D.
That was the last time I was in a relationship.
And that one fucked you up bad afterwards too, right?
Well, I
you got a big heart, Tommy. And
I got a big heart, and when things end, it's like, oh,
yeah, I know. What's your star sign?
Taurus.
Stubborn. Yeah.
Well, there's that.
There's that.
But the positive side is that, you know, just very...
Yeah.
Loving and all those other good
and
things.
Everyone says that about you. Everyone does. Marcus always speaks well of you. Kelly, she loves you as well. So look, obviously we're going to do this again, but in closing, what's your message? Like, what do you want people to know? If you could say something, do you have a message for people that are listening to this, or
Scope of just life type thing?
Yep. It could be a sentence. It could be a word. It could be a mantra. It could be whatever. What's your message?
I get even this. After all these years, right now, I'm still like, what the fuck am I going to do?
Mm. Really?
Here I am now at this age, and I've done those things and whatnot. You know, what's next for me? I don't know. I'm scared to death.
Scary. I'm with you.
I really am.
I feel that way as well.
And, you know, every day or damn near close to that, you hear about, oh, such and such dropped dead the other day. I go,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He was only what?
Yeah.
42? I was like,
yeah. Yep. I'm with you on that.
Capture the moment, whatever it is. Time is fleeting. It waits for no man. And
capture the
get
moment.
Out there and do stuff, man. Hurry up, because
before you know it, you've blinked, and
you've
it's
blinked.
Fucking 30
Two
years.
Two times, of... three times, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much I want to do right now, you know? It's like, here we are just before Christmas. It's such a horrible time for me. Sad. I don't know why. I want it to be more uplifting. Now you look on these Instagrams and all these others about manifesting and saying these things. You got to say these things over and over. You got to visually see yourself doing whatever it is you want to do, you know, whatever makes you happy, do it. I'm like, I don't know what makes me happy. I know what makes me momentarily happy, because happiness is a pursuit. It's not that's what they call it, the pursuit of happiness.
Absolutely.
Happiness is not every
moment
of your life. Mm. Life is just about kind of stealing moments that kind of happen. If anything, cherish time with someone. Things are things. You can't take them with you. memories, hopefully, if unless you're it's tragic and you have like Alzheimer's or dementia and you don't have those memories after all these wonderful things you've done as a person in your life. Mm. It's not the destination or the journey. It's the company you have.
Absolutely.
You know, and I, like right now, I just want to love the shit out of some girl right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know where she's at.
She's not here right now. She's not here, but she's there somewhere.
She's out there, and it's just...
She's out there.
It's a terrible feeling because I think to myself, who would want me? All these girls. Nobody wants to be like, that's my guy.
Well,
I'm actually proud of him for all that.
I don't know.
Maybe they say there's somebody for everybody, but I don't know.
Because once again, that is only going to be a part of who you are. Who you are is who you are, which is your heart.
It's not what I do. It's not who I am. It's what I did. I'm on the ass end of it. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do next. I love building stuff and welding and my off-road stuff, and I just wanted to love the shit out of some girl. I feel like I'm affectionate, very affectionate guy, and affection is like air, for me at least.
Yeah,
I need to be affectionate and love and hug on someone.
Yeah, it's out there.
You know,
it's fucking out there.
You know, one might think, oh, this guy gets to have all these sex with all these girls, and don't get me wrong, it was momentarily nice.
Mm.
But it's like having a big long jacket. A jacket is a rap sheet. A rap sheet is, you know, from an analogy standpoint, it's crimes you've committed. Not that I've committed crimes, but somebody would say, well, he's got a long jacket, in the respect that, well, he's had a lot of sex with a lot of girls. Can they live with that? I actually went on I was trying to put together a show, some sort of television show concept or whatnot, or podcast, something, I don't know. Because I love being in front of the camera, not even in front of the camera, but I love to entertain somebody and talk in whatever capacity that would be. And I had this kind of a blind date that we shot, and that was the girl's. She's like, I love him to death. He's so great, and he's so this and so nice. But the hardest thing that I would have to live with is the amount of girls he's been with. I couldn't accept that.
Here's where I would look at it, though. Can you imagine how fucking badass the chick is that you get that goes, I don't give a fuck about what he's done. I love him.
If you're out there, I dare you to show yourself.
She's fucking out there, Tommy.
She's got to be some spectacular.
And that's what I'm saying. That's
something.
That's how I look at it. Like, your next girl, the girl that you get, is going to be a fucking badass woman because she's going to accept you and what you've done for your profession. That's not going to bother her. And for someone to be able to accept you and that not... She's got to be a fucking badass chick. Trust me, she's out there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I feel like she's out there.
She is.
They say there's... Well, you know, there's... How many? 8 billion.
Yeah.
I only want one.
He's fucked a billion of them, but he only wants one. Tommy Gunn.
I only want one, man.
It's been a pleasure, my friend.
Likewise. Wonderful.
Yeah, we're going to do part two in
January.
This
could be like a 10-hour episode.
It could have been. Actually, absolutely. So the next one we'll definitely do for a 2-hour one. Thanks for coming in, brother.
Thanks so much.
Guys, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you watching. And don't forget, 2024 is coming up. This was the last podcast of the year.
That's the last podcast of the fucking year.
Chase, thank you very much for everything this year, my brother. I appreciate your help and your knowledge and your love and your professionalism over the last few months that I've been here. I really respect
you. My pleasure, man. It's been really excellent.
And next year is just going to, we're just about to, you know, I'm going to bend next year over and fuck it.
You and me both, brother.
Guys, thanks for listening. This is Marcus Deegan for the Marcus Deegan Show here in Vegas. We're out.